A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, we have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him for is ours. If anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, he should pray to God, and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly. There is such a thing as deadly sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. We know that anyone begotten by God does not sin, but the one begotten by God he protects, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we belong to God, and the whole world is under the power of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Children, be on your guard against idols. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
Let them praise his name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
Let the faithful exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Alleluia.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him. John answered and said, No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man, who stands and listens for him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase. I must decrease. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This first reading from St. John, we hear of deadly sin versus sin that is not deadly. All sin offends God, of course, but he reminds us there's some that is outright deadly. It kills the life of the Spirit. It kills charity. We know, of course, we call that mortal sin, as the distinct from venial sin, the kind that just is a complete turn away from God. But we have to understand that there's also a distinction we can make within even mortal sin itself. Every mortal sin destroys charity. If I commit a very serious sin, grave matter, there's no love in that act. It's without love. But there can be repentance, of course, even for that person. We can always repent. We can go to confession. And that repentance itself is God acting to bring us back to himself. He has not abandoned us. And so God's loving us back into himself, loving us back into repentance. But then there's something else we can do to even stop that, potentially. And that is a grave mortal sin, even against faith itself. And this is what John is really getting to. So I can be weak and commit a grave sin, but in my shame, I come back to God. He's given me the grace of repentance. But if I stop believing, if I sin against faith, I don't care about any of that. Well, then what can happen? How do I turn back? How do you repent from such a thing when you have given up completely on that? The life of love is gone, but now the life of faith is gone. There's no anything. And that is what John ultimately talks about, and that's why he ends this letter, "Children, be on your guard against idols. They will kill every last bit of relationship we have with God, even to believe." Apostatizing would be for John the worst, because now you have completely not only lost the love of God, but even the belief, and turned to something entirely different. Whatever that other thing is, there's no life in it. There's only death left. And so John says, be on the guard of that. We have to stay confident in Christ Jesus. He is the one who brings us to God the Father. He is the one who keeps the life of the Spirit in us. He is the one who maintains that bond. He is the one to whom we can go even when through our actions we break the bond. He doesn't. Brings us back to himself. And so, watch out for idols. And how do we know if an idol is trying to grab us? You know an idol because we are meant to sacrifice, to make an act of total self-giving. We're meant for that. We're born for that. There's no way you can write that out. It's kind of in our spiritual DNA, so to speak, to worship, to give ourselves totally over to something greater than me. And if that's not God, it becomes something else. It doesn't just disappear. Something else takes God's place through our own decision. And whatever it is we're sacrificing to, whatever I'm pouring out my blood, sweat, and tears for, whatever I'm getting up in the morning about, if that's not the Lord, and somehow doesn't lead to the Lord, then an idol has brought its tentacles in and is starting to pull me away from the source of life itself and into its deadly grasp, into its spirit. So we give thanks to the Lord that here we are gathered for proper worship. Worship in the Spirit, that we come to this altar as the family of God and we receive from him his perfect sacrifice. And all the sacrifices that we make in our lives every single day, striving through grace to be with God and in communion with God, those sacrifices are perfected now at this altar. They're made perfect through the perfect sacrifice of the Eucharist, and we receive back from the Lord everything that it leads to it, becoming like him. Not becoming an idol, but becoming what we were meant to be, the image and likeness of God. That the glory of the Lord would shine through us. That's life, and that's what we're meant for. That's what we're born for, and that's what we say amen to.